Now it's time for Power of Prophecy, continuing the legacy of Tex Mars, exposing evil, and promoting Jesus Christ as Savior. Here's your host, Jerry Barrett.
Hello, friends, and welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy. I'm your host, Jerry Barrett, honored to have you join me again this week. It's time now for my favorite program of the month. It's Secrets Time. Secrets volume number 329. And I have got about an inch and a half worth of items here. Oh, it's crazy. You know, a while back I talked about fences making good neighbors and how sometimes these devices are beneficial to implement boundaries, to protect yourself from miscreants. And it seems that the demon rats really detest any kind of fence unless it's to insulate themselves. Nancy Pelosi hated the wall that Donald Trump tried to put up, talked bad about it every chance she got. But she has a wall around her mansion there in California. Same thing for Mad Maxine. She doesn't even live in the district she represents because she doesn't want to be in the hood. She's too good for that. So she's got a nice mansion with a big wall to keep out the miscreants, the people that are beneath her, her serfs, her servants. And it appears that the Capitol has been ringed with fencing to keep out the ne'er-do-wells before Joe Biden, resident Joe Biden, gives his State of the Union address this week. And I find all of this hypocrisy quite laughable, because most people on the right, not all, but most, and quite a few on the loony left, have no desire to break the law. There are factions in each group that care less and less about the rule of law. They want things their way. They're just following the lead of the demon rats, are they not? Because Joe Biden wants to destroy this country, him and his handlers, and bring in tens of millions of illegal aliens who will be a drain on the American taxpayer, will further put this country in debt, but they're banking on the fact that they will be able to get them legal and able to vote demon rat for the rest of their life. So we can't have a wall to keep the illegals from entering this country. We got to allow them every access possible. Doesn't matter if they're Chinese or Muslim or gangbangers from Central America, Venezuela, doesn't matter. But I do find it hilarious. I came across this in the Independent American. The Oscars, the Academy Awards, are coming up this weekend. And guess what they have put up around the Dolby Theater on Hollywood Boulevard? You guessed correctly. A great big fence to keep all of the loony left protesters from destroying this great event for all of these muckety-mucks to celebrate themselves. Now, according to this article by Alex Scoop, the authorities for the Academy Awards are not worried about protesters from the right. It's that the elites don't want to be harassed by their fellow loony leftists protesting. So they have erected a fence. Fences do make good neighbors. I came across this one on campus reform. This was an interesting read. There is a professor at Harvard. His name is Roland Fryer. He's an economics professor. And recently he had a conversation that was broadcast on YouTube with Barry Weiss of the Free Press. Now, Barry Weiss and Matt Taibbi are two of the Twitter Chronicles reporters. Both of them lean towards the left, but they're truth seekers and they're truth tellers as far as I can tell. So Professor Fryer was on with Barry Weiss and he discussed the violent reaction to a study that he published in 2016. This study found that there was no racial bias in police shootings. And I have cut together a clip. I want you to hear what Professor Roland Fryer had to say.
I collected a lot of data. We collected millions of observations on everyday use of force that wasn't lethal. We collected thousands of observations on lethal force. And it was in this moment in 2016 that I realized people lose their minds when they don't like the result. And so what my paper showed, you'll see tomorrow, some of you, was that, yes, we saw some bias in the low-level uses of force every day pushing up against cars and things like that. People seemed to like that result. But we didn't find any racial bias in police shootings. Now, that was really surprising to me because I expected to see it. The little-known fact is I had 8 full-time RAs that it took to do this over nearly a year. When I found the surprising result, I hired 8 fresh ones and redid it to make sure. They came up with the same exact answer, and I thought it was robust. And then I went to go give it, and my God, all hell broke loose. It was a 104-page, dense, academic economics paper with a 150-page appendix, okay? It was posted for 4 minutes when I got my first email. This is full of shit. Doesn't make any sense. And I wrote back, how'd you read it that fast? That's amazing. You are a genius. And I had colleagues take me to the side and say, don't publish this. You'll ruin your career. I said, what are you talking about? I said, what's wrong with it? Do you believe the first part? Yes. Do you believe the second part? Well, the issue is they just don't fit together. We like the first one, but you should publish the second one another time. I said, let me ask this. If the second part about the police shootings, this is a literal conversation, I said to them, if the second part showed bias, do you think I should publish it then? And they said, yeah, then it would make sense. And I said, I guarantee you I'll publish it. We'll see what happens. So it was, you know, I lived under police protection for about 30 or 40 days. I had a 7-day-old daughter at the time. I remember going and shopping for, because, you know, when you have a newborn, you think you have enough diapers, you don't. So I was going to the grocery store to get diapers with an armed guard. It was crazy. It was really, truly crazy.
How sad is that? When you publish a truthful paper, you have to have armed guards protect you from those who disagree with your results. You heard him. He said he studied it twice. He had a group of research assistants. They came up with a conclusion. He didn't believe it. He got in a new group and they went through the data and they came up with the same conclusion. That's why he said the data was robust. The conclusion was robust. But the loony left and the pundits in the controlled media don't want that narrative out there. And you may be shocked. Hopefully you are not. This is a professor. Does it matter what color his skin tone is? His skin, he is a black man, which is probably why they came down even harder on Professor Fryer for actually telling the truth. Unlike the former president of Harvard who plagiarized her doctorate thesis, plagiarized. stole somebody else's writings and didn't credit them, claimed them as her own. Goodness gracious. Well, Rand Paul comes out with his Festivus report on the illicit spending of our federal government. It's the Festivus report of 2023. He says, we lamented over the national debt reaching an astronomical $30 trillion. Shockingly, in one short year, the career politicians and bureaucrats in Washington have managed to approach $34 trillion in debt without so much as a second thought. Some of the things that he exposes, a portion of $800 billion was given to people who used a Barbie doll photo to get COVID PPP funds. Dr. Fauci's monkey business on NIH's Monkey Island cost $33 million. The U.S. aid fund to boost Egyptian tourism, $6 million. We spent $6 million to boost tourism to another country. Over $900 billion of taxpayer funds were wasted. Wasted, according to Rand Paul. The government paid $38 million to dead people. The Department of Defense spent $8,400 on a lobster tank. Not the tank you take into battle, but a lobster tank. The Cybersecurity Infrastructure Security Agency, CISA, and the Department of Homeland Security made itself the arbiter of misinformation during the scamdemic. They created a series of graphic novels called the Resilience Series to educate the public about misinformation. The first in the series was called Real Fake and featured a foreign operation created to spread misinformation about a U.S. senator and impact U.S. elections. The Ministry of Truth wasted money on this project. The Small Business Administration offered grants. Business Insider identified dozens of famous music artists and their touring companies that received over $200 million during the Shuttered Venue Operators Grant Program the SBA put out. Some of the so-called small business owners were Post Malone, a pop music singer, Lil Wayne, a rapper, Smashing Pumpkins, another rock and roll popular music group. They each received $10 million. Nickelback received $2 million. That's another rock and roll group. They make millions touring, and they stole, basically, millions from the American taxpayer because Congress doesn't know how to balance a checkbook and take care of the taxpayer funds. Goodness gracious. This was in ZeroHedge.com, written by Tyler Durden. He writes, a Freedom of Information Act lawsuit revealed that the Biden administration has flown 320,000, at least 320,000 migrants into the United States in an effort to reduce the number of crossings at the southern border. This is according to Todd Bensman of the Center for Immigration Studies. Now, on top of that, Customs and Border Patrol Protection initially refused to disclose information about the flights that use the CBP1 app that these illegals are using on their phone. Todd Bensman said, quote, under these legally dubious parole programs, aliens who cannot legally enter the country use the CBP1 app to apply for travel authorization and temporary humanitarian release from these airports. The parole program allows for 2-year periods of legal status during which adults are eligible for work authorization. These illegal immigrants were sent to at least 43 American cities from January to December of 2023. Fully legal to work. Elon Musk got on X or Twitter, whatever you want to call it, and he said, quote, treason indeed. Ushering in vast numbers of illegals is why Mayorkas was impeached by the House. They are importing voters. This is why groups on the far left fight so hard to stop voter ID requirements under the absurd guise of protecting the right to vote. Close quote. Musk also suggested that we could be setting ourselves up for something worse than what happened on 9/11. Although we know it's an inside job, but the next one may not be. It may be a full-blown terrorist outbreak across this country. We're already seeing rampant crime from the illegals. I'm going to touch on that next week. This destruction of America at the hands of the demon rats, Joe Biden, Chuckie Schumer, Nancy Pelosi, et al., is akin to treason. And I think they all should be charged with treason for trying to turn this country into a third world dung heap. I made the comment a while back that conspiracy theories are an endangered species because they're all coming true. I talked with Pat Shannon about this. The CIA coined the phrase conspiracy theory because of the JFK assassination. And people didn't buy that bogus Warren report that had so many insiders on the panel. They didn't do a deep dive. They had a narrative they had to follow, right? But it's so easy because of the mind control from controlled media to portray anybody who doubts the truthfulness of what is put out by those in D.C. inside the Beltway. It makes those who doubt it an easy target for those on the loony left to call us nuts. But because of widespread information on the Internet, it's getting harder and harder to keep these secrets. Look at the Fannie Willis trial going on in Georgia. Maybe she'll get convicted of perjury for lying under oath about her illicit affair with another prosecutor she appointed and paid handsomely to charge Donald Trump with bogus claims. But why is it such a big thing to point out conspiracy theories? Because those on the loony left increasingly engage in fascist illegal behavior and try to hide it. The left claims the right believes conspiracy theories because we're more gullible. But now one of them that is emerging as accurate is the presence of pedophiles on the left and in Hollywood. Remember Pizzagate? Tex Mars did a program on that. There was the downfall of Jeffrey Epstein and Harvey Weinstein that pretty much put the kibosh on the ridicule against those on the right saying Hollywood was filled with these sexual deviants. Corey Feldman, an actor, talked about pedophiles in Hollywood when he was a young child actor, but he was ignored until it came out that he was probably telling the truth. The recent scamdemic, COVID-19, there were claims that it was created in a lab in Wuhan, China, that it leaked out of there and got into society. How many people don't believe that now? That one's being proven true. There was those of us who claimed the vaccines, so-called, don't work. But the medical community and the government kept telling us that it was good. Fauci kept coming on the news. The efficacy rate. Well, no, it's bogus. And now they're having to admit that those of us who claimed that it was a conspiracy theory for population reduction, they're having to admit that, well, it probably was true. Masks. They claimed that you needed masks to prevent the spread. You know what prevented the spread of COVID-19? This flu, this man-made biological weapon? Sanitation. It's amazing how sanitation has helped the health of so many people around the world avoid these terrible pandemics. masks don't work. OSHA had put out a study. It got put on the back burner. It got memory hold because they didn't want people realizing that wearing a mask was dangerous to your health. What about the people that are now suffering severe side effects from this jab? These are all things that are stacking up against all of the naysayers who made fun of those of us who were trying to tell the truth about how bad these jabs were, how bad wearing a mask was, how bad we have treated our children by forcing them to stay home, by shutting everything down. It has ruined the economy, the education system for our children. We have set this country back a decade at least. Then we had the Russian collusion hoax. Adam Schiff kept saying he had proof. He had proof. He didn't have anything. They had a lying dossier from a liar, and then Robert Mueller and John Durham were able to conclude there was no collusion. There was no Russian collusion. What about Hunter Biden's laptops? They claimed it was a hoax. It's come out now that it was true. Election fraud. There are more and more trials that will come to completion that will prove that 2020 was a stolen election. Former Arizona Attorney General Mark Brnovich proved two Democratic officials, including the former Democratic Mayor of San Luis, Guillermina Fuentes, were prosecuted and convicted for ballot harvesting. The left continues to use white supremacy, the radical right and their white supremacists. They refuse that the memory hole has worked tremendously for the demon rats on this. But I saw a video where a black man was being interviewed on a black man's show. The interviewer said, "Why are you voting for Trump?" He said, "Because I studied history. I didn't fall for the narrative. I know that the Democrats were behind slavery. The Democrats were behind, created the KKK. The Democrats fought against every attempt at civil rights in U.S. history. So that's why I'm voting for Trump." Amazing. But you will never see a headline that just comes out and boldly states conspiracy theory on the right proven true. Instead, they run headlines nonstop that say some conservative theory was debunked. They have fact-checking sites all over the place now. You know who controls them? That's right, those on the loony left. But more and more conspiracy theories are being proven true. Tex called it conspiracy science. I am inclined to agree with that. Here we go on to this one. This was in NewConservativePost.com, written by Walt Reisinger. Walt writes, "Joe Biden is obsessed with EVs, electric vehicles. The White House has spent billions trying to do away with gasoline vehicles." In January 2023, John Podesta, the new czar of the green energy deal that Biden's administration has come up with, Podesta announced the post office will be adding 66,000 fully electric vehicles to its fleet. However, the American people have spoken. EV inventories are piling up at dealerships. Automakers are losing billions of dollars because they retooled their factories to do nothing but electric vehicles. But EVs are dirtier for the environment than the gasoline counterpart. Most particulate emissions come from tires, not the tailpipe. EVs are heavy, and as their tires go along the road, they break into pieces. They degrade. And according to measurements by an emission analytics firm, the airborne tire wear emissions are 400 times greater than the direct exhaust particulate emissions. California calls electric cars zero emission vehicles because they don't have tailpipes. But that's a lie. Generating the electricity that powers those cars creates a particulate pollution. Electric cars use tires made from petroleum. They weigh a lot more than gasoline-powered cars. so their tires degrade faster. The analytics firm I cited a minute ago compared two cars, a plug-in electric and a hybrid. The electric car weighed about one-third more than the hybrid and emitted roughly one-quarter more particulate matter because of tire wear. The California Air Agency mused that in the future, automakers could probably offset the weight of heavy batteries with unspecified weight reduction in other components or vehicle body. But right now, we're supposed to be protecting the planet from carbon emissions. But tires are worse because of the wear that they suffer because of the weight of the vehicle. Batteries weigh a lot. They cost a lot, too. And insurance companies are starting to see that it's not worth insuring an EV because if they're involved in a collision, the battery is damaged, the frame can be bent, they have to total the car. Keep an eye on the insurance companies. They will lead the way in the destruction of EV sales faster than anything else because insurance companies want to make billions and not thousands. How many of you have paid tens of thousands of dollars in vehicular insurance and never had a claim? That's pure profit for these insurance companies. Think about that. The truth will out itself. It's not a conspiracy theory, is it? No, it is the truth. And when the truth comes out, there are going to be a lot of angry people who ran out, bought an EV, and then realized that it was a money pit, that it was a loss leader, and their finances are going to take a huge hit. Mark my words, it is not going to be pretty. But keep an eye on the insurance companies. They'll tell you. Speaking of this Biden administration and their idiocy for so-called carbon dioxide reduction. You know, plants use carbon dioxide and the sun as part of photosynthesis. I've said this repeatedly. It's basic biology. One of the first things I learned in freshman biology in high school. So reducing carbon dioxide is going to kill off plants. Is that what they're looking to do? Do they want to destroy all the vegetation on the planet? Makes you wonder. But the Biden administration has recently targeted washers and dryers in the residence. That's right. They claim that this new regulation that the Department of Energy has come out with is going to reduce nearly 71 million metric tons of carbon dioxide emissions over the next 3 years. Jennifer Granholm. Yep, those of you in Michigan know what a piece of trash this woman is. She is now Biden's energy secretary, and she claims the agency will continue to roll out innovative solutions to lower costs for consumers. They make it sound so peachy keen, but it's a hoax. These new regulations are going to prohibit the sale of certain less efficient models of washers and dryers. Eventually, we're all going to go back to having clotheslines in the backyard, and we won't need a dryer, right? Ben Lieberman, a senior fellow at the Competitive Enterprise Institute, said the DOE should focus on addressing the problems caused by existing regulations. Mr. Lieberman warned these regulations may not take into account the interests of consumers. Oh, boy. So they came for your gas stove, your natural gas stove or your propane stove. Now they're coming for your washer and dryer. They came for your car. What's next? Woof. That's going to take care of the first half. I got to take a brief pause. When I come back, I've got a whole lot more to get to. You're listening to Power of Prophecy. Stay with us. I'll be right back. Hello, friends. Jerry Barrett back with you again. I want to tell you how to get a copy of Mike King's outstanding book, Climate Boogeyman, The Criminal Insanity of the Global Warming Climate Change Hoax. in bold and certain defiance of the great and the good who continue to proclaim global warming to be settled science. Anti-globalist author Mike King aligns himself firmly and proudly in the camp of what the media refers to as climate change deniers. What separates this book from that of so many other excellent books and documentaries debunking the hoax of man-made global warming is that it provides a complete picture of the scam, one that not only encompasses fake science, but also ties it into the public relations component and the historical geopolitical context which drives this climate boogeyman. It is self-defeating to respectfully disagree with warmists. Don't pull any punches. These people need to be called out. Now, there are indeed many innocent fools and dupes, including some scientists, who under the influence of propaganda and so-called expert authority have obediently swallowed this dogmatic garbage of global warming and actually believe in it. As for the inner circle movers and shakers behind this great scam, these evil conspirators know exactly what they're doing, and they need to be placed on the defensive and called out, not as fools or merely sloppy practitioners of science, but as the criminal hoaxers that they and their invisible handlers truly are. We need to unmask this gigantic fraud, and Mike King does an excellent job in this book, Climate Boogeyman. It is 200 pages, large format, and we're only asking $20. Please add $6 shipping and handling. That'll make your total $26 for Climate Boogeyman. You can order your copy by phoning us toll-free in the United States and Canada at 1-800-234-9673. Again, that's 1-800-234-9673. If you care to phone us on our regular line, that number is 512-263-9780. We're in the office Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Central Time. We accept Visa, MasterCard, Discover, and American Express. You can use these same charge cards at our secure shopping cart at powerofprophecy.com, powerofprophecy.com. There's an ad for Climate Boogeyman right there on the main page. You click on it, put in your name, address, shipping method, charge card information, hit submit, and we will get a copy coming straight to you. If you want to send in a check, money order, or cash, please make your check or money order payable to Power of Prophecy, and you can mail it to us here at 4819 R.O. Drive, Suite 102, Spicewood, Texas, and our zip code is 78669. It is a very informative book. Mike has great historical articles. In fact, copies of front pages and information from the articles in this book to back up every one of his claims. He has done some back-breaking, painstaking research to put this book together. It's full of vital information. And if you don't have a copy, I urge you to get one now. Especially if you're going to be homeschooling your children. They need to know the truth. And this book is jam-packed full of truths. Don't let the fake news influence your knowledge, your child's education, your grandchild's education. Learn about these evil conspirators. Knowledge is power. Arm yourself with the knowledge of the hoax that is Climate Boogeyman. Okay, now let's return to our regular program. Today we're discussing Secrets, volume number 329. I've previously talked about this mayor in Dalton, Illinois. Her name is Tiffany Hainyard. She has reportedly vetoed an investigation that was unanimously approved by the village board into allegations she has misused funds for lavish expenses and a $1 million security detail. But this is not the first time she's come under scrutiny for corruption. Ms. Hanyard came into the crosshairs of an FBI investigation for abusing her power after she shut down businesses that didn't donate to her campaign. One business owner told the New York Post he made one contribution to Hanyard, and her minions kept coming after him demanding more money, almost like the mob extorts businesses for protection money. Because he did not comply, Hanyard shut down his trucking business. They claim she dresses like a gangster when she attends city meetings. This same woman put an illegal ordinance in place ensuring that if she lost the election to be mayor, the future mayor's salary would be reduced from over $200,000 to $25,000. That's a 90% decrease. But the salary would remain unchanged should she win the election. Wow. Corruption? This woman has definite political future in the Demon Rat Party, does she not? Oh my. She has a professional stylist and a fashion consultant to help her appearance before making public photo ops at a community event or town meeting with her trustees. The village board unanimously voted to open a probe, calling on her to submit the village's financial records and inviting the FBI to conduct its own investigation. Although it was vetoed, the board is going to override this veto. You can bet on it. During the recent board meeting, Mayor Hanyard acknowledged the city's $2 million budget deficit with more than $827,000 in debt for street paving and tree trimming services. The one thing you have to ask is, why did people vote this woman in for a second term? You gotta wonder. Oh my goodness. Oh, the blind leading the blind? Corruption at its finest in the Demon Rat Party. Well, speaking of the poor people under Demon Rat control, let's go to Washington, D.C. Last November, the husband of Michelle Terrell worked a shift as a food delivery driver. When he got home, he parked his car, and he got out, and he was carjacked at gunpoint. Yep, D.C. The police were able to recover the vehicle a couple months later, and they were sent a letter from the Department of Public Works letting them know that their vehicle had been recovered. Unfortunately, they had moved, and they hadn't updated their address. So this letter sat in a mailbox for a couple months. When Ms. Terrell went to go to the impound lot to get her car back, she was looking at a $2,000 storage and towing bill. Oh, and the thugs that stole the car got a ticket and one of the cameras. And now Ms. Terrell is on the hook for the ticket that these thugs got. And the Department of Motor Vehicles claims that it's Ms. Terrell and her husband's fault because they didn't update their address. At the time this article was published, the car was still sitting in the impound lot. Ms. Terrell is trying to negotiate some kind of payment so that she can get her SUV back. Do you think the thugs have already served a couple months in jail and are free, and her car is still in jail? That's D.C. and demon rat politics, isn't it? Speaking of demon rat politics, we'll go to New York City. Yeah, that bastion of democracy. An Amazon driver. Right, an Amazon driver. His name is Abu, that's the only name in the article, was delivering packages when he saw a drunk, illegal immigrant trying to steal the van. This immigrant's name is Jason Sanchez, and Abu confronted Senor Sanchez, and it led to a physical altercation. Abu used a piece of ice for self-defense. Abu was charged with third-degree assault. Senor Sanchez claimed that he was punched. Now, Senor Sanchez faced charges for petty larceny, public lewdness, and alcohol consumption on the streets. Released without bail. Abu claims it's self-defense. He said there's got to be cameras around. The police said there's no cameras. I'm sorry. So now Abu is looking at an open case, a criminal record, and all he was trying to do was defend his company's property and his body. But he's the one that got charged with assault, not the drunk illegal immigrant. Makes perfect sense, doesn't it? My, my, my. Well, here's one that makes sense. Let's go to Missouri. Now, there are policies in place across the country in schools that prevent educators and administrators from informing parents of their child undergoing a gender transition at school. They hide it from the parents. In a lot of these cases, the teachers are encouraged to aid these children in masquerading as members of the opposite sex. But Missouri is going to fix this. A Republican state representative by the name of Jamie Gragg, G-R-A-G-G, and a few of his peers, want to put these teachers on the sex offender registry. Mr. Gragg introduced House Bill 2885 last month. The bill will amend state law concerning the registry of sex offenders and introduce a penalty for the offense of contributing to social transition. They define in this legislation social transition as, quote, the process by which an individual adopts the name, pronouns, and gender expression, such as clothing or haircuts, that match the individual's gender identity and not the gender assumed by the individual's sex at birth, close quote. So, under this proposed law, teachers, school counselors acting in official capacity who provide support, regardless of whether the support is material, information, or other resources to a child regarding social transition, can be charged with a Class E felony, which includes a fine up to $10,000 and 4 years in prison, as well as having to register as a sex offender. Now, currently, Missouri bans most sex offenders from loitering within 500 feet of a school when one or more minors are present, approaching or contacting children near a child care facility, knowingly being present or loitering within 500 feet of a public park or playground equipment, knowingly coaching a sports team in which a minor is a member. So if these teachers are convicted under this proposed law, it would end their career. In a statement to Newsweek, Mr. Gragg said, quote, education begins at home, and it's time for the few liberal activists who've infiltrated the education system to stop interfering in the relationships between parents and children. We need to make sure our teachers, those who spend their lives helping our children grow and prepare for the world, can focus on teaching. Hear, hear, Mr. Gragg. Here's another one. Missouri Attorney General Andrew Bailey has announced a lawsuit against Planned Parenthood. He is accusing the organization of trafficking young girls for out-of-state abortions. Now, Project Veritas, when James O'Keefe was there, had released a video of Planned Parenthood workers appearing to say they would help a young girl get an abortion in Kansas without her parents' knowledge. Wow. Trafficking young girls across state lines so they can get an abortion because Missouri bans it. Without parental consent, without parental knowledge. Planned Parenthood allegedly said they would help cover this up. They'd even write a letter to get the child out of class so that they could pick her up and take her to Kansas. Unbelievable. Well, we've heard about Bob Menendez and his sleaziness for decades, it seems like. And now he is in even more problems. So is his wife. His wife's name is Nadine. They're already embroiled in serious allegations of bribery, misuse of power to favor a foreign government. But now they are facing an obstruction of justice charge. These new charges bring the total count to 18. Wow. Menendez is under scrutiny for allegedly attempting to impede the ongoing bribery investigation by providing investigators with misleading information about certain transactions. What brought about this new charge? New Jersey businessman Jose Uribe has agreed to cooperate with the investigation. That's right. He is turning informer. And he is going to expose everything that's going on. According to the indictment, Nadine Menendez inquired about Uribe's intended response to investigators, to which he replied he would present the payments as a loan. She reportedly agreed with this approach. The indictment further alleges that Senator Menendez initially had his lawyer inform investigators he was unaware of the car payments or mortgage payments from another businessman. He later had his lawyer convey to investigators he had discovered they were loans, despite knowing they were, in fact, bribe payments. In response to the new charges, Senator Menendez issued a statement denouncing them as a flagrant abuse of power. This is the guy that was found with gold bars stashed in his house. Cash stashed in the pockets of his coats. He's perfectly above board. Perfectly legal. John Fetterman, of all people. John Fetterman has been a vocal critic of Menendez, and he has labeled the New Jersey senator a sleazeball. John Fetterman. Fetterman has advocated for Menendez's removal from office by the Senate, but the Senate Democrats have resisted these calls. They want to wait until after the trial has concluded. But Menendez's predicament has been exacerbated by the plea deal struck by Jose Uribe. Wow. If he is convicted, him and his wife, they could face decades in prison. Now, Menendez recently had said that he was going to still run for Senate. I think I read a report earlier this week said he is no longer going to seek re-election in the Senate. That'd probably be a good thing for your constituents, Bob, because you might be in the hoosegow and unable to represent them. Goodness. I've talked about assisted suicide. I think Steve and I talked about it a couple years ago. There is a rise in the amount of assisted suicide legislation across America. Nearly, I think, 19 states currently are proposing legislation for assisted suicide in this country. Currently, 9 states have legalized medically assisted suicide. They include California, Colorado, Hawaii, New Jersey, New Mexico, Oregon, Washington, Vermont, and D.C. A 2009 ruling by the Montana Supreme Court established that assisted suicide would not contravene public policy or be deemed illegal. Among the 19 states that are now considering a bill that legalizes assisted suicide are Arizona, Maryland, Massachusetts, Minnesota, New York, Tennessee, and Virginia. In Virginia, the bill that recently passed permits individuals with terminal illnesses to request a self-administered controlled substance to end their lives. In Arizona, the proposed bill would permit patients to request doctors to withhold food and liquids from them. Internationally, doctor-assisted suicide is legal in Austria, Belgium, Canada, Luxembourg, the Netherlands, New Zealand, Portugal, Spain, and Switzerland. Colombia, Italy, and Germany have also legalized it, but have yet to establish formal procedures. In Canada, they recently suspended assisted suicide for the mentally ill. In the Netherlands, eligibility for assisted suicide extends to children as young as 12, but the consent of parents or guardians is mandatory until they reach the age of 16. And after 16, 17, they don't need parental consent, but the parents must be involved in the decision-making process. Let's kill off people. Sure, why not? Goodness. Life is sacred. Man. Here's another one on Planned Parenthood. They have repeatedly denied that they sell aborted baby parts, right? Well, Planned Parenthood has allegedly transferred proprietary aborted baby parts to the University of California, San Diego, in exchange for ownership of the university's patents and intellectual property created through these experiments. The Center for Medical Progress obtained documents showing the alleged transaction between the abortion organization and the university after filing a public records request. The Center for Medical Progress founder and president David DeLeiden told Catholic Vote, quote, "These documents show that the whole time Planned Parenthood swore to Congress and the public that they did not sell body parts, they were lying about active contracts, like this one, to sell aborted fetuses for massive financial value in violation of federal law." Close quote. Needs to be shut down. Planned Parenthood needs to be shut down. Came across this in the Western Journal, written by Randy DeSoto. He wrote about a Dr. Landon D. Vinson, an emergency room doctor at Coffeyville Regional Medical Center in Coffeyville, Kansas, who recounted a miracle he witnessed when a brain-dead woman he had treated came back to life after a pastor prayed for her. The incident happened in the spring of 2021. Vinson explained, during the course of his medical career, he's been there hundreds of times when people died. He said, quote, "It's part of the job description." But in this instance, CPR had been performed on this woman for about an hour. They got her heart started, but the only thing keeping her heart going were shots of adrenaline, and she was intubated, breathing through a ventilator. He said, from a medical standpoint, she wasn't really alive. Dr. Vinson spoke to the woman's husband, saying it was probably time to take her off life support. And the husband asked if they could just wait until a pastor got there. The hospital reached out to Randy DePriest. When he arrived at the hospital, the staff wanted him to go to the husband to be with him to prepare him for his wife being taken off life support. Instead, the preacher asked if he could go to the wife's room first so he would be better informed of the situation. Mr. DePriest came into the woman's room, he put his hand on her shoulder, and he began to pray over her. There was a nurse in the room. Dr. Vinson said maybe just a couple of minutes into the prayer, "The life support machine's kind of alarming, and so I think I'm going to turn it off so it's not distracting. And I look up, and the spontaneous breaths are coming back. I see a hand moving on this woman. This made no sense to me because she did not have any signs of life. We had turned off all our drips and sedations. Prior to that, she had three or four different medications keeping her heart going. These were turned off. Now her blood pressure is strong and going through the roof." DePriest spoke to her saying, quote, "This is Pastor Randy. I've come to pray for you." Close quote. The woman opened her eyes and he asked, "Can you hear me okay?" She nods yes. DePriest says, "I understand you've had a really rough day and your body needs healing. Do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior?" Again, she nods, yes. Mr. DePriest said, "That's great news because today we're going to do as the Scripture says. Where two or more gathered in my name, there in the midst shall he be. We will ask him, and it shall be done. I'm asking God to help you, to restore your health and to heal you. Does that sound all right? Again, this woman nods. Dr. Vincent recounts a woman was blinking her eyes, so he leaned down and asked, "Can you hear me?" She nodded her head. He then asked, "Do you want us to keep going and fight?" She aggressively shook her head, "Yes." Now, the hospital had to sedate the woman because she was still intubated, and she was trying to get out of the bed, so they had to sedate her. So she went from being dead to having to be sedated because the power of prayer had worked a miracle on this woman. Dr. Vincent said, quote, "That was the first true miracle I've ever seen. What I kept hearing was God saying, 'This is my child. I decide.' For me, that was kind of a gut check moment, a very humbling moment. We think we're in control. We think we call the shots. But at the end of the day, God has the ultimate decision, and he decides." Dr. Vincent remembers Mr. DePriest just walking out of the room. He said, "I guess I'll go get her husband." The doctor recalled speaking with nurses later that day, and she asked, "What just happened?" And Dr. Vincent said, quote, "I think that was a miracle." He said the nurse just cried. That's all she could do. She had nothing else to say. Vincent said he'd researched afterwards, trying to find a medical explanation for what had happened, for what he had witnessed. But he couldn't. Dr. Vincent said, quote, "I don't know that I'll ever understand the mechanism, but I know she was dead before the prayer and alive after," close quote. The power of prayer. The power of prayer. That's why I have asked, if you have a prayer request, please write me, email me, phone us. We are blessed to pray for you. There is nothing too small. If it's God's will, he will answer it. But it is a blessing to pray for you. And it is a blessing for Sandra and myself that you pray for us. I know the power of prayer. Now, Dr. Vincent and that nurse know the power of prayer. The Lord can do all things, but if you never ask, he'll never answer. Thank you for continually praying for this ministry, for Miss Wanda, who's doing great. She has moved out to California to be near her son and her grandchildren. Miss Wanda is doing great. I want to ask you to continue to pray for her, for Sandra, for myself, for our families. We are truly blessed to be able to talk to you and to read your communications, whether they're letter, handwritten, or email. We love hearing from you, and we want to thank you for your continued prayers and support for this ministry begun by Tex Mars so long ago. I constantly get phone calls and people say, "I am so glad you have continued on the work that Tex Mars began." We are blessed. Tex Mars was such a visionary, had such powerful discernment, that he was able to take snippets of information and put them together, and along with Bible prophecy, he was able to see what was coming down the road. And because of your prayers and support, this ministry continues on. I want to thank you for tuning in, giving me an hour of your time. I greatly appreciate it. And as always, I pray you will tune in again next week at this same time. Tune in and discover the power of prophecy.